Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Then all of our people who ministered, did they do a wonderful job? Naomi, Steve Piccarelli, thank you. The Bass family, the Ely family, and my daughter and Pastor Azy, didn't they do a wonderful job? My daughter's the one in the red dress. We're just excited. Her name is Abigail, which means a father's joy. So we're kind of excited to have her back and just paying for her college bills. So we're just believing God for that. So I just have to pause for a moment. Chris, do you mind standing up? You actually officially have won the Ugliest Suit Award. Can you just stand? Look at this. Come here. That is something. Go ahead, stand on the box. That's it right there. Look at this thing. All right, go sit back down. Wow. If you want to take a picture with him by the tree, he's going to be available. That is incredible. Where did you get that? I'm just curious. Where did you get that? Okay. Where did you get it? Do you mind? Oh, Groupon. That's it. And I'm sure they gave it to you, right? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So we've been doing a series during the month of December here simply called Hope, because people need hope. And this has kind of been the review of the sermon messages that we've talked about so far. Hope in the darkness, hope in the valley, hope for the troubled heart. And this evening, just for a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about hope for Christmas. And I hope that you have your Christmas shopping done by now. I hope so. I heard Macy's closed at 6. I guess you could maybe run to the promenade or somewhere real quick and get something. You know, there is a distinction how men and women shop. Let me just show this to you really quickly. This is the difference. That's it. That's how it is. That's how it is. That is. Ladies, when you, like, you're ready to get married to men, us men, we are high-maintenance people. We are. I actually saw a mug the other day. I just kind of want to highlight it to you. If a man says he will fix it, he will. There's no need to remind him every 6 months, all right? Get off of our back, all right? There's another, like, okay, I'll pick on the men, but let me just maybe help the ladies too. Men, this is, will help you here as well. Watch this. Hold your wife's hand in the mall, because if you let go, she'll start shopping. It looks romantic, but it's actually economic, all right? That will help you. That will help you. But you know what? We talk about giving gifts and treats and all these wonderful things, having services, and I'm wearing a nice sweater right here. Someone came up to me and said, I thought the ugly sweater contest was last week, and that hurt my feelings right there, so. Well, that person's not going to heaven. All right, here we go. Just joking. God's greatest expression of his love and his hope is through the person of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus' birthday. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He did many miracles. The Bible says he died on the cross, and then he was in the grave for 3 days, and he resurrected, and then he showed himself many convincing proofs that he was alive, and then he ascended into heaven. The Bible says that one day, it's called the rapture of the church, he's going to come back and get those who are ready to be with him. But the first time that Jesus Christ came, there was a prophecy. There's hundreds of prophecies about his birth. I want to highlight one of those verses. It's found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You can see it's almost 700 years before Jesus' birth. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said, who was led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. I want to talk to you tonight about the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and Emmanuel, God with us. If we fast forward 600 years or so, the prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew's gospel when Jesus was born, almost identical. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God always keeps his word. But I just want to quickly share with you God's Son, the Savior of the world. Men and women need hope. And God gives hope through his son, Jesus Christ, to bring salvation and forgiveness of sins. Famous cardiologist Dr. McNair Wilson said it like this: hope is the medicine I use more than any other. Hope can cure nearly anything. If a man or a woman or a young person has hope, it will lead them into the future. And God wants to infuse your life today with hope from above. Now, this idea of hope has been spreading around. You've heard me preach about Donald Trump won election by simply saying, "Make America great again." He brought hope to a nation, whether you liked him or not. Barack Obama won election, actually two elections, by saying hope and change, and people want hope and change. Matter of fact, you probably heard this interview with Oprah Winfrey this past week, and you could hear, don't listen, if you may or not like the Obamas or Trumps, don't worry about that, but listen to the word hope as Oprah has an interview with Michelle Obama as they're leaving the White House. Listen to the word hope.
We're feeling what not having hope feels like, you know. Hope is necessary. It's a necessary concept. And Barack didn't just talk about hope because he thought it was just a nice slogan to get votes. I mean, he and I and so many believe that what else do you have if you don't have hope?
Yeah.
What do you give your kids if you can't give them hope?
Well, I'm not talking about a political sphere of hope. You may believe in one party or the other, or have different ideas than me or the person next to you. What I'm talking to you about is hope is from heaven. God sent his son Jesus, born of a virgin, hope from heaven to our hearts. Now, I'm not a big moviegoer, but if you watch a lot of the movies that have come out, they're about superheroes. I have to read them to you because I get confused a little bit. Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Iron Man, Captain America, Avengers, and for the little kids, The Incredibles, right? There's problems on planet Earth. And so someone has to come from a faraway place and conquer good with evil and make everything right. So we need some help. Everybody knows there's a problem. What are we going to do? I need to show you a picture of something that our deacons gave to our pastors of this church. Let me just show you right here. This is the pastoral staff right here. This is pretty cool, actually, right here. If you don't know, I'll just explain. That's Pastor Sean and Azy in the top left-hand corner. And what are the M's? I'm not even sure what the M's are. The Marltons? What? Oh, they're Incredibles, but the Marlton Incredibles. They're Incredibles. Okay, right there. You guys are incredible. All right. That's Pastor Andy, our student's pastor, youth pastor in the middle, up top. That's Spider-Man. Pastor Liz is Wonder Woman. What's Joel right there? Flash, help me out. Just participate. Pastor Tim right here, Captain America. Pastor Mike right there. Doesn't Pastor Mike look like 20 years younger? Whoever did this drawing, Mike should pay them. Look right there. All right, jumping over here. This is Pastor Troy, our family life pastor, and that is who? Iron Man. And this is Pastor Rich. I'm Batman. I'm just showing. And I'm right there in the middle, right there. I just want to highlight one quick thing. That is the last time you will see me with a six-pack, right there. So, like, these are just regular people trying to do God's work. You can take the picture down. But these people in themselves don't bring hope. There's one person who could bring you hope for the inside. His name is Jesus Christ. He was prophesied from Isaiah that he would come and he would be the Son of God who chose to leave heaven. He didn't have to come down and to save the day. Not just the Roman government to take taxes away to free the Jewish people. He was coming down at that time to die on the cross to set people free and to win the battle of the soul to take away our sin and be victorious. When Jesus came out of the grave, if we identify with him, we too can live through Christ and walk victoriously and go to heaven to be with the Lord forever. It's the most famous scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. I want us to read together this idea that Jesus himself is coming from heaven to save us and to save the day. Let's read it together. For God so loved... Stop. We could do better. Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You say, does God care? The answer is absolutely yes. He has a great hope for you. And he wants to do first in our hearts and our life is to bring us salvation, forgive us our sin, and get our lives right with Almighty God. There's a real problem on the inside. Edgar Allan Poe said it like this: I was sick, sick unto death. You say, what's the big deal about Jesus coming to take away our sins? And what does sin look like? I just want to quickly look at James chapter 1. This will help you understand the severity of sin inside of a human being. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The Bible says, listen, we all have sin. And as it works itself in us and through us, and we get older and we experience more and more sin, and we learn to cover it up, we have all this problem. As it keeps burning inside of us, the Bible says we're going to have to pay the penalty for our own sin and die and go to hell, and death would be with us forever. But for God so loved the world, he sent his son Jesus to give us hope, to take away our sin, to take away death. That's why Jesus died, so we could have life and have life victoriously and go to heaven and be with him forever. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. So you say, Pastor, I don't feel like it. Inside, I'm empty. I'm stuck with my memories. I have this horrible fear. I have good news for you. Jesus Christ has come from heaven to save your soul, to bring you salvation, to do a great work in your heart, and to set you free in Jesus' name. He is the Son of God, the hope of the world. Salvation has come through Jesus Christ. That's why God sent his Son. So God's Son, the Savior. Secondly, God's Spirit present with us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says it like this: Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel, God with us. You get your life right with God because you believe that Jesus died on the cross to take away your sin. But it's just not getting your life right with God. It's saying, Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you every day of my life. Emmanuel, come and help me, Lord. Come and touch my heart. Help me with my finances. I don't want to be enslaved to debt for the rest of my life. I want victory. I believe some people in this room today, God wants to give you hope with your finances. Say, John, my wife and I stopped loving each other. I don't like him. I don't like her. There's problems. I don't believe there's hope for our marriage. I want to tell you, God wants to infuse you with hope, not something that you've done in your own ability or you have this counselor, but God himself comes from heaven, Emmanuel, God with us, and said, listen, I can put love in your heart again. Every person in this room, I want to tell you, moms and dads, God has hope for your kids. Your kids are going to grow up strong and do great things for God. They're going to call you blessed. I believe that God is going to give hope to families. He's going to help us. Your children are on heroin, they're taking drugs like it's candy. I believe Jesus can set people free. The Holy Spirit can come and help people. Emmanuel, God with us. So you say, Pastor, you believe that God is with us? I do. Absolutely, I do. My daughter's 12 years old. I have three daughters, and I went to the orthodontist with her. She had to get a routine checkup or whatever it is. You know, dental work is very expensive. Have you noticed that, moms and dads? If you've got small kids, let me tell you, it gets more expensive. $200 a month for the next 75 years for braces. That's what it costs right there. And I went up to the counter just to talk to the lady. She goes, I hear good things happening at Marlton Assembly of God. I said, ma'am, you've never been to our church. And she goes, you know what? People talk. And I'm hearing some good things. I said, well, what are you hearing? She says, well, I think she's a religious person. I'm not sure she goes to church. I just feel like maybe that people are hungry for something more in their life. I said, I agree with you. God is moving in South Jersey. He's moving in Marlton Assembly of God. He wants to move in your heart, Emmanuel. He wants to come into your home. He wants to come into your kitchen. He wants to come into your bedroom. He wants to come into your car. He wants to come into your finances, in your relationships. Emmanuel, God with us and do miracles in your life. I know this to be true. Nearly almost every day I go to the diner and I do my devotions. Devotions mean you pray a little bit and you read your Bible. I've been going to the new diner they renovated. It's called the 24-7 Diner on 73 in Voorhees, kind of catty corner from the new hospital, the Voorhees Hospital, right? I call it the Voorhees Hotel Motel. It's beautiful. My wife and I just go there a couple nights and just spend some time alone. It's beautiful over there. But I go in the corner and I kind of just spend time with the Lord. I drop my daughter off at 7 o'clock at Marlton Middle School, and I have a couple hours before I come to church at 9 o'clock, and I just spend some time. I don't tell anybody I'm a pastor. I just kind of sit there. I order 2 eggs sunny side up, grits, and white toast, dry. Sometimes I'll get bacon or turkey bacon or something like that. If I go crazy, blueberry pancake with some walnuts in it. Oh, man. God is so good. I feel the presence of God. I do. But there was another person in our church, and they just kind of said, hey, Pastor John, and one of the waitresses just heard that I was a pastor. I don't usually tell them people. I just dress regular or whatever. This past week, a lady came walking over, one of the waitresses. She came walking over. She goes, I don't want to disturb you. She kind of walked like this. I don't want to disturb you. You're eating your eggs sunny side up. And she goes, can I just talk to you for a minute? She goes, I'm going through a really hard time. Let me just kind of fast forward. Last night we had a Christmas Eve service. She was in church for the very first time with her mother. It was the coolest thing in the whole world. Sat right there in church. I just kind of acknowledged her, and she put her hand up like first time. First time people don't know what to do. They just act crazy. It's all right. If you're first time, don't worry about it. Kind of freaky with the lights off, hot chocolate. Oh, man, don't worry about it. We're glad you're here. But she comes over. Don't want to bother you. She's talking about some really bad things that happened to her. She goes, I've forgiven, but I'm having a hard time forgetting. Involved a family member that really hurt her in the past. Circumstances, her finances are hurting. She's just crying. She's just crying. She's like, is there hope? I whipped out some of those tickets that you all had and you all passed out. I said, listen, why don't you come to church and hear a message of God's hope for you? She goes, I feel like there's something happening. God's doing something. I'm here to tell you that there is hope for the orthodontist people. There are hope for the people at the diner, regular people, and there's hope for you. So whatever station of life you're in, you're standing here. You're here to say, God, does God hear me? Can God come and help me? I'm here to tell you, Emmanuel, God with us. John chapter 3 talks about this spiritual experience. I just want you to see kind of how it really takes place. There's a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, was a member of the Jewish ruling council, one of the 70 most important people of the Jewish faith. He came to Jesus at night. Why do people go at night? Because they're scared, they're nervous. What's going to happen? People are nervous about the future. They're looking, they're grabbing hold of political, or Trump or Obama or finances, but they're putting their hope in the wrong spot. Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying you must be born again. Jesus said everybody who wants to be right with God, who wants to go to heaven, must be, and this is not a political term. Some people say, oh, those born-agains, or the evangelical born-agains, they vote Republican. It's not a Republican thing. It's the first time that you're born. You don't have a choice who your parents are. You're just born. Born of the flesh. That's your parents. But God says this, I'm going to transform you on the inside of you, and you can have a fresh start spiritually, and I can forgive your sins, and the Spirit of God will come and live inside of you. And verse 8 says this, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is everyone born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will come into your heart and lead you and guide you and help you along life's journey. My wife's father passed away unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. We're kind of going through that mourning process in a very busy time, but I can just tell you, whether through life or through death, we sense the Spirit of the living God anchoring us and giving us strength and encouragement. Even though it's hard, the Spirit of God, Emmanuel, God with us. I got a frantic phone call a couple days ago from my father. My mom suffers from dementia, and she has Alzheimer's. She's not doing well. Her hands are starting to curl. You're not supposed to leave My dad just left the house for 10 minutes, and you're only supposed to leave for a half hour. He comes back. I get a phone call. My mom had fallen out of a chair, cracked her head, blood's everywhere, broke her hip. Yesterday, we were Thursday on surgery. I was with my dad all day, and they did put a rod in here and here, and they're trying to give her physical therapy and all this. We're trying to figure it all out, trying to do therapy at home. You say, what happens when you're going through hard times and difficulty? I want to tell you, God with us, Emmanuel, God will be with us. And so we all dress up nice tonight, and everyone looks so good. You're going to take pictures in front of the tree. You're going to get some coffee. Boy, you had that music when you came in. That was great, too. It's so wonderful. There's a good spirit in the air, the spirit of Christmas. But deep inside, you say, there's things that aren't right. Or you say, I need miracle. I need the supernatural. I need God in my relationships, and my decision-making, where I'm going, what's my next step. I need God. I want God to show me what to do with my life and do ministry. I want to live for God. I want to know why I'm on this planet. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how the Spirit of God moves. All I know is He will lead you, and there is hope for you and your family. There's hope for Christmas. And whatever you're asking God for, there's hope. There's future. Some people will say it like this from Joshua, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future." Psalm chapter 42 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." We don't put our hope in hope. We don't put our hope in faith. We put our hope in God. God, I'm down. I'm discouraged. I need you. Come and save my soul, Lord. Let me be born again. Wash me of my sins. I want to go to heaven. Lord, once I'm born again or I'm saved, whatever words we use, Emmanuel, God, lead me. Walk with me. Teach me. You ask me how I know God lives. He lives within my heart. He walks with me. He talks with me. He's with us. God with us. He's with Marlton Assembly of God. The Spirit-filled church is He's with us. Praise be to the living God. He's good and He's faithful. Would you pray with me tonight? I want to tell you, everyone in this room, there's hope for you. Your body may be failing. There's sickness. There's discouragement. Maybe it's a difficult time for you and your family, Christmas and New Year's. I get it. I understand it. I'm walking through it. Our family needs grace. It needs strength. It needs help. We can't do this on our own. But I know there's a God in heaven who gives hope. He tells us to look towards heaven. Where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord. I want to tell you, He loves you. He cares about you. He has a plan for you. I don't care how much you messed up. I don't care how broken you or your family is. There's a God in heaven who loves you. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus. He saw the problems of the world, and He can make a difference. You're the apple of His eye. There's nothing more important right now than you listening to God. He's waiting for you to turn your heart to Him. He's waiting for you to respond to Him. Listen to His voice. He calls to you. There's hope. There's a future. It's not wrapped up in the economy or politics or the superhero or people. It's the hope of the world, Jesus Christ, to come. In just a moment, we're gonna light our candles, and it signifies the light of the world, Jesus Christ, in the dark world. But we're going to pray and ask God to come close to us. You draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. The first step is always salvation. The Bible calls it being born again or a new creation in Christ. It's the same. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to wash away my sins. I believe you died and rose again. And in you, I'm going to live a new life. I not only want to go to heaven, but I want heaven to come into my heart. I believe in the hope of the gospel that you'll change my life, and I'm going to live for you with your power. I'm going to do what you want me to do because your ways are better than my ways. And I'm giving my heart to you, Lord Jesus, tonight. My life's going to be changed tonight because of the hope that's found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone.